ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into this week's episode of Nosebleeds. We are nearing that halfway point. Technically, we have hit it if you want to look at how many games have passed in the MLB season. We are coming up on the All-Star break, a big time in baseball to kind of look at what your team has done so far to this point, look at what they have left, kind of analyze, see, do they have a path to the playoffs, do they not? Before we hop into all of that, though, I want to ask you guys, Brogue and Dominic, how are you guys doing today?
I'm good. Yankees won last night, 6-5, big win, comeback win in extras. So feeling pretty good right now.
Yeah, same for me. Huge Yankees fan up here. Happy to see them get it done and kind of rally from behind, something that we're not really used to, and I'm sure we'll dive into here in a second.
Yes, we will. And for the record, I forgot to mention, but Brendan Shore here alongside Brogan DeShado and Dominic Sansone on this week's episode of Nosebleeds. You mentioned the Yankees. We're going to dive right into the Yankees. We're going to start with them, move to the Mets, and then trade deadlines coming up. We're going to look at that. The All-Star Game rosters have been announced. We're going to look at that to close out the show. But you guys mentioned the Yankees. We're going to hop right in there. They won last night after being no hit for a majority of the game. They're still sitting at second in the AL East. The Blue Jays have taken over that first-place spot. The Yankees are two games behind them now. They go home for the final series going into All-Star break. They host the Cubs. They're coming off a sweep of the Mariners after a cold stretch where they dropped 2 out of 3 to the Mets in the Subway Series at Citi Field and got swept in a 4-game series by the Blue Jays. And I want to kind of take a look at what we've seen from the Yankees so far to this point in the season, where they started off so hot, and we all remember the second game of the season where they came out and hit 9 home runs in the big torpedo bat, if you want to call it, scandal or emergence happened. And I want to kind of hop into this first half of the season. I'll start with you, Brogan. I want to ask you, like, what have you seen from the Yankees up to this point that you have liked, have not liked? What is giving you hope? What's holding you back? What have you seen from your team so far?
I mean, the number one answer I would say is easily Aaron Judge. Another MVP caliber season. He already has 32 home runs, 30 home runs this season. It's crazy. He's probably the best hitter in baseball. And everybody wants the Shea Ohtani or Cal Raleigh, who we saw last 3 games. No, it's Aaron Judge. It's really clear. He's earned the automatic All-Star spot, which we're going to talk about later. But Aaron Judge is just the best player in baseball, and he's on the Yankees. So Aaron Judge is the bright spot. I would say the biggest bright spot for the Yankees right now. But we also have the pitching on the pitching side. Max Fried lights out. He's our ace. He's been phenomenal this season. He's been just every game he comes out, you think you're going to win. And I can't really say that for any of the other pitchers this season. But Max Fried, when you know he's on the mound, you know you're probably going to win that game. What I haven't liked, though, is all the injuries the Yankees have gotten over the past couple weeks. You've got Gerrit Cole, obviously, was out for the entire season at the beginning of the year. And Clark Schmidt just got announced that he's going to have Tommy John surgery, so that's not great. So you really need some people at the deadline so that you can get those spots filled. And the Yankees, up until Sunday, they weren't playing great. They had lost, 14 of their last 14 games in the last 20. It's not good, and thankfully they're turning around now. But this Yankees team is rocky. Hopefully they're on a hot streak now, and I think they are. I just think that they need to keep this momentum up, and if they start, and as we've seen, if they start losing games, this team's very streaky, no matter what. If they start winning games, they're going to keep winning. But if they start losing some games, you might see them lose another 14. Cody Bellinger has a 15 or 16-game hit streak right now. Can he keep that going? We'll see. I don't know. Dominic?
Yeah, I see it the same as you, Brogan. I mean, the Yankees are 17 and 19 since the beginning of June. It's not going to cut it, especially down the stretch. I mean, they started out so hot. They went 17 and 19 in May, 15 and 13 in April. So great start. But to me, obviously, the injuries are a glaring point. I mean, you look at this Yankees team, and they've always had injuries, but this year it's really hurt them. I mean, their ace, undoubtedly Gerrit Cole. Obviously Max Fried has taken on that role and he's done a great job. We got to commend him for that. But Gerrit Cole's a huge blow at the beginning of the year, and then Gil, he is on his way back. He's expected to make a rehab start this coming Sunday, so we'll see how that goes. But then again, is he going to be able to hop right into the rotation and be as pivotal of a role as he was back last year for the Yankees? So that's all kind of things that are up in the air. Obviously, Aaron Judge, there's always hope when you have Aaron Judge. It's kind of like the Buffalo Bills. I'm a Bills fan. When you have Josh Allen, there's always hope, right? Maybe, the Chiefs are going to come in and kill you, but look, end of the day, you have Josh Allen. You have the Aaron Judge in your sport, right? The best hitter in baseball, undoubtedly. You can make the argument Ohtani, but every New Yorker is going to tell you that it is Judge. Even the Mets fans, I'm sure Shohei will be able to hop on that as well.
I
But
will back that.
for me, the big issue is, besides, the hitting from Judge, there's not a single guy on the team hitting over 300. So that's a big issue as well. I mean, there's multiple teams in the AL and the NL, the Dodgers, multiple guys over 300. And to me, it's like Aaron Judge ball out and put the team on his back, or the Yankees lose. So that's going to have to be something. I mean, the supporting cast is going to have to step up. They got Stanton back now. Obviously, he was a big part of last night's comeback against the Mariners. So we'll see how he comes into play. They got a lot of work to do, though, to get back into first place in the AL East.
And I'll add on to this. I think the whole kind of debate between the MVP race, and I say that with air quotes, the MVP race between Judge and Raleigh is very entertaining, and watching all the people arguing for Raleigh is like, oh, he has more home runs. Judge has two less home runs and has an OPS 200 points higher than Raleigh. He's batting in the mid 300s. Like, he is having a season. We've seen him the past couple of seasons, and we're like, he can't get much better. He somehow is getting better season by season. He's having a fantastic year, and it's really fun to watch. We're witnessing greatness as we watch today's game. I also want to highlight this pitching staff. I know you guys have mentioned it, but the front half of the rotation up to this point, you have Max Fried, even if you want to go into Rodon, a couple of guys who have pitched pretty well. Max Fried has pitched amazing. It makes you wonder how good this pitching staff would really be if Gerrit Cole did not unfortunately get injured. This Yankees team would be really, really scary going into October. But you already have Max Fried, who's come in and he has taken that role on as your ace, and he has done it phenomenally. You have Rodon, who's come in and been that too. And for at least a majority of this year, he has been a very good second option. The back half, there are some question marks. You mentioned it, Dominic. Heal, for example, there are guys like that who they need to come in, and you don't need them to be absolutely lights out like Fried, but you need them to give you solid outings, give you five, six innings of a few run baseball. That's a recipe for catching up in this division. I want to now hop into trade talks. The trade deadline is coming up. The Yankees are looking to be buyers here. And a lot of rumors that I have seen are connecting them to Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks. They just moved Jazz Chisholm over to second base. They waived DJ LeMahieu. All the signs are pointing to them to go get a third baseman. I think it's Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks. Do you guys think the Yankees go out and make a big splash at third base? Do you think they make a splash anywhere else? I'm gonna leave that one up to you guys.
I mean, I saw somewhere that Brian Cashman basically said in the past he's always been kind of cagey when it comes to talking about the trade deadline. But this year he was like, we're going out, we're getting a starting pitcher, we're going to try to get two relief pitchers, and we're going to try to get an infielder. And so that's very hopeful for me. Yeah, I've heard everybody connecting Eugenio Suarez to the Yankees, and he's been really good this year. I remember watching him when he played at Yankee Stadium, and that was like the beginning of the season when he was in the lead for home runs, and he had like seven up to that point. It was like the second series of the year. And while he has cooled off a little bit, he still is a phenom. He's an all-star. He's really good. He's really good this season. Maybe another one could be Ryan McMahon from the Rockies. He's elite defensively, and he obviously in Colorado, those numbers are in the offensive numbers are inflated a little bit with the high altitude, but he's somebody that I definitely think would be very good, and he would hit a lot of home runs over that short porch in left field in right field. So I think Eugenio Suarez would be great. Ryan McMahon would be great, and then they need some bullpen levers as well. Somebody like a Ryan Helsley, who's the fireballer from the Cardinals, who's been really good this year, and he's. I know it's not the ERA doesn't say it. He's got a 3.19 ERA right now, but that he the Yankees could use someone like him right now, and they don't really have anybody. I guess you could say Fernando Cruz, but he's on the injured list. Ryan Helsley is a fireballer. He's like kind of like Aroldis Chapman, but I just feel like he could get the Yankees over the edge a little bit.
Yeah, I think for the Yankees, third base is obviously the glaring weakness right now for them. I mean, Peraza's going to fill the gap while he's in there. But I think a guy that they could look at again is Nolan Arenado out of the Cardinals. I think he's a good to come in there and take Adam the off seasonally work out with Stroman, but maybe that's something they could revisit. Suarez is obviously the big name that comes to mind at third base, like Brendan mentioned earlier. I think they need bullpen arms, like Brogan already hit on. A fireball guy would be great, like Helsley. Anyone really? For me, I think the Yankees need someone who can come in and just throw velocity. Like they have a lot of guys with great movement and stuff, but they need a little more versatility in terms of velocity. You know, Loaisiga throws great velocity out of the bullpen, but he's been hit or miss. He came in the other night and his first pitch gave up a two-run shot. So, you know, maybe he's still coming back and working back from his injury stint back in May. But I think they need someone who can come in, throw gas, get three easy outs, you know, in the eighth to set up Williams, who maybe will begin to really figure it out, and Weaver once he comes back as well.
We talked about the Yankees. I want to shift down to Queens. I want to talk about the Mets. They just had a Subway Series at Citi Field. Mets took two out of three. The Mets are now sitting at second in the NL East, game and a half back of the Phillies in the division. They just lost a series to the Orioles, 2-1. They finish up in Kansas City at the Royals. And similar to the Yankees, a team that started off hot, has kind of fallen off a bit recently. We've seen both these teams have kind of similar trajectories so far throughout this season. The Mets obviously started off hot with their pitching. Their lineup kind of took a few weeks to get it figured out. But since then, the lineup has taken a half step backwards. The pitching has taken a step backwards as well. And so I want to look at this team and what they've done so far this season. And we'll do the same thing as we did for the Yankees. I'll pitch it to you guys first. This Mets team and what we've seen, whether it's the pitching, whether it's the hitting, whether it's the big name they signed in free agency, Juan Soto, what have you seen from these guys that either makes you, I guess you're Yankees fans, so not excited, but if you were a Mets fan, that would make you excited for the second half of the season.
I mean, it pains me to say it, but Juan Soto's been, I know he had a slow start, but he's been really good this year. I don't know how he didn't make the All-Star roster. It's insane. He should have made it. He's probably the key piece to the Mets lineup right now, aside with Lindor and Pete Alonso, who's had a little bit of a down year. Soto's been phenomenal this year. And the Mets rotation, has been really good. I know a bunch of their players have gotten injured, Senga, Minaya, and now they started with the second best ERA or the best ERA in the league, and now they have one of the worst ERAs in the league. And Jeremy Hefner, the pitching coach, was phenomenal. I don't know what happened, but even with recent struggles, they're very good depth wise with their pitching, and I think that they need to utilize that, because that's a big factor when it comes to winning games down the stretch. It's always whose bullpens and whose starters can have who has it. Not all pitching staffs have it towards the end of the year. It's a long season, and it basically becomes a test of stamina to see who can make it towards the end of the season and who can make it healthy and who's good at towards the end of the season, because that's when it really comes into play. The Mets are in second place right now. If they want to win the division, which Steve Cohen and David Stern said they wanted to do at the beginning of the year, they've got to make some moves at the trade deadline, and they've got to actually not blow leads like they have the past couple games.
Yeah, I think that, the Soto Alonso combo in this Mets lineup is what's really propelled them to the next level this year. I mean, they started so hot, but even Alonso's come out and said it and been like, hey, hitting behind Soto is like a world of difference, just because you have such a guy who can go yard every single time he's up, and then you have Pete Alonso. Like, there's no drop off between those two. So it's really hard. It's a 1-2 punch. And not to mention, the Mets have a lot of other guys, unlike the Yankees, who are hitting well. You have Lindor and Nimmo, who are very good for this Mets team. Now, in terms of pitching, yeah, they've had some blows with the injuries. It's going to be an issue. I think the big thing for them is going to be at this trade deadline, going out and maybe getting a starting guy who can come in and fill that void. The Mets are probably a team that's going to make the playoffs. I mean, the Phillies are on top of that division right now, but I think that they're still going to make the playoffs. I think that's safe to say with this roster, with this talent and this coaching, they're going to make the playoffs. But I think they're going to have to make some moves at the deadline, maybe go after a pitcher. I think Gallen out of the Diamondbacks is a really good option. I mean, we'll get into that in a second here. But I was also reading something earlier talking about Suarez to the Mets too. So that's another option, whether he's going to the Bronx or down to Queens.
I like what both of you guys said about Soto. That's what I've liked about this team. That's what I've liked about this team so much up to this point, is seeing a month and a half ago, Soto sitting there batting 230, and I was ready to throw everything at him. I'm not even a Mets fan, but I was mad as a Mets fan. For Mets fans at Soto, for coming in and dropping a stinker like that. And then in the past month and a half since then, he's brought his average up to sitting over 260. He's one of the better hitters, one of the most consistent hitters in this lineup, as we've seen guys like Alonso, who started out super hot, started out batting, sitting around 330 after a month and a half into the season, and has now come back down to earth. Lindor the same. He was sitting at about 300, 310 a month and a half into the season. Now is sitting in the 250s, 260s. So both those guys have come back to earth. But Juan Soto being able to raise his average like that and kind of offset that and balance this lineup is something I've loved to see so far this season. I also love that the back of the bullpen. You have Edwin Diaz, who is one of the best closers in the game, especially this year. We've seen him the past couple of years. Last year, he struggled a little bit. The year before, with his freak injury, celebrating a World Baseball Classic win, it wasn't even in game action. That he it was his Achilles, I or ACL, something on his leg. But seeing him come back and pitch so strongly this year, and then you have guys like Max Kranich, who's pitched well, Brazoban has pitched well. They have a very reliable back of the bullpen for the most part. They've blown leads recently, as you guys have mentioned. And kind of during this time when the Mets have started to fall off and started to slide, the bullpen hasn't been quite as reliable. But from what I've seen throughout the season, I think that's a strength that they need to lean on. And I like what you guys said, going to get an arm. I like Seth Lugo out there. I like a Joe Ryan. I like one of these guys over from the AL. I'm not sure if the Diamondbacks would be willing to go for a Gallen trade, just considering it's an in-division trade. I would love that one the most. I'm a Rangers fan, and I saw him pitch in the World Series 2 years ago, and have a no hitter through six. So I think that would be probably the best option out there for them. But any of these starting pitchers that are on the market, I think they could even go get a bullpen guy. And I was doing a little bit of research looking at trades. They have a bunch of young guys in the infield between Vientos and Beatty, and I want to get you guys' opinion on this. Do you ship one of those guys off?
I think you can. I mean, you've got, if you look at the Mets prospect list, they've got so many top 100 prospects on their list. It's like they've got Jett Williams, Luis Angel Acuna is he just got called back up, I think, but he was doing pretty well. Jonah Tong, Carson Bangi. So they've got a lot of players that definitely could they could call up in relief of them, or they could trade some of them to get Zach Gallen or somebody like that.
Yeah, their windows right now. The Mets got to go for this. They have Soto in his prime. You have Pete Alonso. You have Lindor. You have Nimmo. You have all these guys. I think they got to go for it. I mean, you have those great prospects, all of them that Brogan just named. This is a trade deadline that the Mets can say, hey, either we're going to be okay here at status quo. We're probably going to get into the playoffs, you know, as a 4 or 5, lose the division, maybe to the Phillies. Maybe we'll sneak it out and then probably get knocked out in the wild card or divisional. Or there's another approach where they say, hey, we're going to go in, we're going to trade all these prospects, we're going to go get talent right now. We're going to go get Zach Gallen and maybe a couple other guys, you know, maybe one more piece in the bullpen, a third baseman that's a star like Suarez or another one of those guys. I mean, you could turn that Fab Four that their manager was talking about into a Fab Five. So I think that's the piece for the Mets, and that's the route I would be going if I was their GM.
I personally like trading Vientos as one of their prospects. He great had a great year last year, but has fallen off this year. And I've heard from even Mets fans at the station. I've heard from Kurt, most probably the most out of anyone, that Vientos should be on the trading block, and they should be willing to send him away for talent. Speaking of trades, I want to kind of shift away from the Mets now, and I want to look at the league as a whole. And there are some big names out on the market right now that are kind of being shopped around a little bit. Some guys, you see the Orioles kind of rumored to be trading Ryan O'Hearn. I've seen rumors for, I mean, everyone's been talking about since Devers got traded, is Jarren Duran going to get traded? And so I want to take a look at some big names that we think will get traded, and I'll go ahead and start first. I do think Jarren Duran gets traded. I think you look at this Red Sox team, you have an outfield for the future that consists of Willier Abreu, Sedan Rafaela, and Roman Anthony. And I don't think Jarren Duran really fits into that timeline. And you could sell him now at probably the highest you will ever sell him for. And get back a load of prospects who could be ready in the next couple of years. I see Jarren Duran getting traded. Do you guys have any big names throughout the league that you think might get shipped off?
I would say probably somebody, I know we were just talking about it with the Mets, but somebody like Joe Ryan from the Twins. He's 29. He's still pretty young. He's still got some years of club control. He's an all-star for the first time. He's an 8-4 record, 2.76 ERA, and 116 strikeouts. He's somebody that could come into an organization like the Red Sox, I think, have been mentioned as one of the teams that have been targeted with to Joe Ryan. And he's somebody that could come in and just throw strikes. He's somebody that could come in and just eat innings for a team, especially maybe, I know the Red Sox are on the outside looking in for the playoffs right now, but somebody like like a Tigers, somebody, a team like the Tigers that could really use a back end starter that could come in and really, after Skubal and Jack Flaherty, come in and basically be that third starter where it's like those are your big three now, and that's your playoff, basically your playoff games 1, 2, and 3, that you could realistically win because you're the Tigers and you have five All-Stars this season.
The name for me is probably Mitch Keller, from the Pirates. I think he's going to go up to Toronto. I think they need a starting pitcher. Berrios is up there, as well as Bassett and Gausman. But other than that, I mean, the Toronto pitching has been a big question mark, all this year. I think they really need to get a starting guy, and I think the second pitcher for the Pirates is their guy. I think, Skeens, obviously, there's rumors out there. Oh, his girlfriend was looking at a place in New York, so whether he's a Met or hopefully a Yankee,
I would love that.
that would be incredible. But we know Libby Dunn was probably just shopping, had some extra money. Needless to say, I think Mitch Keller is a guy who can go up in that Toronto team and make an impact right away. I mean, they're going to be in a competition with the Yankees down the stretch for the AL East. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we see that they're playing with them right now. The Yankees, we thought, were going to run away with that division, and that has not been the case. And that's kind of the way the Yankees are. They go on hot and cold streaks, and they play the big ball, they play home run ball, and if it's not working, as we've seen recently, they hit these skids. So I think the Blue Jays need to go out and get Keller. I think it'll be a huge impact right away for that team. He can come into that rotation, be their guy, and help that Blue Jays team lock down the AL East.
Does Skeens get traded? Should he?
Yeah. I mean, if I'm the Pirates, yes. I mean, they just Skeens is such a valuable asset to them. Like, the amount that teams would have to give up for the Pirates, like, I feel like there's also a sentimental, like, value attached to Skeens in
Yeah.
Pittsburgh.
I don't think he gets traded. I think that the Pirates need somebody, 'cause each franchise really has their one big star, and Paul Skeens is the star of the show in the NL Central right now. You've got PCA, but it's really Paul Skeens' division at this point. It's whenever you talk to a casual fan that doesn't really know much about baseball, they'll bring up the Aaron Judges of the world, they'll bring up the Shohei Ohtani of the world, and then they'll say Paul Skeens because he's a box office attraction. Yeah, so I don't think he gets traded.
I don't think he gets traded. I think it would be quite the shakeup in the league if he were to get traded. I think the Pirates should definitely consider and listen to offers. It would be very interesting to see how much a team gives up for a guy like Skeens, but I agree. I don't think he does get traded, at least not this year. So we've talked Yankees, we've talked Mets. We've looked at trade deadline out, and the All-Star game is coming up. The rosters were announced, and so I want to take a look at that before we close the show. And I guess the rosters to me aren't as big. I mean, you hear every year there's always got to be someone who got snubbed, and it's usually fans complaining about players from their team that didn't make it. And so I want to take a look, and obviously mine, actually not obviously, but mine will be biased. I'm a Rangers fan. I think there are a couple of Rangers who should have snuck in on that AL team. I'll throw it to you first, Dominic, and then Brogan. Is there anyone that you think did legitimately get snubbed from this All-Star game?
Yeah, I think the obvious one is Juan Soto. I mean, that one jumps off the page at me. But other than that, I think, that's kind of like a given. To me, it's Suzuki out of the Cubs. I think that was a big snubbing in this. You look at him this season, 51 runs, 94 hits, 25 jacks. He's had an incredible season, hitting 263 out and right for the Cubs. I understand that there's a lot of talent on the NL, especially in the outfield, but to me, Suzuki's a guy that's got to make that team.
For me, I would say it's somebody like I would say Juan Soto. As much as I hate it, it's Juan Soto. I was shocked when he didn't get a nod. I didn't think he was going to be a starter with all the great outfielders in the NL, but I thought he at least would be a reserve, but he wasn't even that. He was a sh I thought he'd be a shoo-in. Yes, I get there's the rule about how there's all of each team should have one representative to grow the game, and so each fan can see one of their players in the league in the game. Kyle Stowers should not be in the All-Star game over Juan Soto. Juan Soto, yes, he's the highest paid athlete in American sports, but he's really good. He's carrying the Mets right now on his back. Yes, there's the Fab Four and maybe the Fab Five, but Juan Soto is just one of the best players in the league. I was shocked when I didn't find out that he didn't make the team.
All right, here's my hot take. I don't think Soto should be an all-star. Up until what, a month ago, he was sitting there batting 230. I mean, he put together a fantastic month of June. But I don't think he had a good enough whole first half of the season. I think you need to play a more complete first half, and that's actually going to kind of contradict with who I think. I think Nathan Eovaldi should be in. He started 15 games. So if you look at that, he missed time and was injured, so that's probably why he didn't get the nod. But if you look at his 15 games in comparison to however many games the Rangers have played, he's starting about once in every six games, which is normal in a six-man rotation. I think that's fine. He's sitting there with a 1.62 ERA, which is best in the MLB among starting pitchers, a WHIP at 0.85. He's been absolutely lights out for this Rangers team. Their strength this year, all year, has been pitching between DeGrom and Eovaldi. And DeGrom did get the nod. I think Eovaldi should have gotten the nod. I think there are guys like Shane Smith of the White Sox who's sitting there. And I think there were probably better players from the White Sox you could have taken, maybe someone from the bullpen. But like you said, Brogan, every team has to have one representative, which is a little unfortunate for fans of teams that have been really good, is you don't get to see all your guys in there, because those teams like the White Sox last year, who were terrible, or like the Rockies this year, will always have someone in there. That's going to do it for us, though, here on this week's episode of Nosebleeds. It was a great time talking with you guys. We talked Yankees, we talked Mets. Trade deadline coming up, the All-Star game. We are right there at that halfway point in the MLB season. But that's going to do it until next week. Stay tuned for that. The sports director of WFUV is Bobby Chaffardini. From Brogan DeSherto and Dom Sansone, I'm Brendan Shorey saying thank you so long. See y'all next week. Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports.
Born. I think